listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live coast to coast. 200 Fox Sports radio stations, 6 o'clock Eastern, every weekday, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. And we've got an action-packed aftermath day, and really it is an aftermath with Kevin Durant. We'll talk about, why did he play? Was it a good decision? Obviously in hindsight, not so much, but at the time. Also, we'll look at the rest of the series and what the game five taught us. Joined in studio, he's a pro who knows, Brad Powers. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. Fezzik, still not sure where he's at. Van Vliet, maybe Freddie still needs him. We'll see when he returns. He is mysterious. Also mysterious in Los Angeles, Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, we start with the big story from the NBA Finals, a finals that now sits at 3-2 with Golden State's win last night in Toronto. The status of Kevin Durant. Reports say that the team fears he did tear his Achilles in that game. So now the conversation switches from what happened to what happens next. RJ, what do you make of KD's comeback prospects moving forward?
You know, a lot of people might say, how's Jonas mysterious? It's like, is that beard for real? Is it painted on? Do you ever comment on that?
You mean off the air. I mean, that's
how much. How much would I have to pay you in cash for you to shave all the way?
Oh, God.
Think on that.
$1,000.
We'll talk about that beginning of the next block. Little tease ahead. I think it's going to be a real number. All right. Unfortunately, the levity, you know, for KD fans, for sports fans in general, we're going to assume it is an Achilles, understanding it's possible it's not. Brad, we've done some research. The team helped us out here. Number one, and I think there's two factors to consider with KD's prospects. Number one, how much time is he going to miss? Likely. Number two, when he comes back, is he going to come back 100%? So typically with an injury like this, considering factors like age, factors like big men tend to come back more slowly than non-big men, but Durant is very thin for a big man, and oftentimes that kind of leanness helps with injury recovery. So you add it all up, how long do you expect KD to be out?
The average, right around 9 months, he's going to be out.
Really? So yeah. Not a full year.
Now,
so in theory, he's back for the playoffs next year. What's funny?
Not funny. What I was going to say is the expectation is he's going to, you know, take, similar to what happened with DeMarcus Cousins, that they're going to take their time.
So is it, in theory, this is the same injury?
In theory, it is the same
injury. And Cousins got hurt when?
He was out a year.
Okay. And but the conversation with Cousins was he could have came back a little before he did, but like I said, Golden State wanted to max the chance he wouldn't re-injure. Wow, that's fascinating. So literally, even if it were a year, like game three of the Western Conference Finals, he could be back.
Yes.
Wow. So would I, and again, I haven't heard other shows that really dug in like we have here, and again, not that they haven't done it, I just haven't heard it. It almost is like next year's a lost season is the assumption. You're saying very possible that at the time they would need him most, again, what we've seen from Golden State is, and we don't know how things are going to change next season, they need Durant come finals time, but before that, they certainly didn't, though you can make the case Houston in a different spot might have beat them, or Portland was a below average conference final team. But that's interesting.
Yeah, and I think you're thinking more of what the recovery time was 10, 15, 20 years ago. It was closer to a year. What they've found in the studies, various articles today had the reports. Recently, it's the recovery time has been closer to 6 to 8 months instead of the full year, RJ.
Which,
so that's why I brought up 9 months.
Yeah, which makes makes the point that next year might not be a lot. I mean, if somehow he came back even in 10, Durant would be there for mostly the entire playoffs.
Yep.
Okay, wow. Now, there is a second side to it, which is when players come back from this type of injury, there's oftentimes a drop off in performance.
Yeah, so field goal percentage wise drops drastically. On average, the 20 or so players that this various studies that have studied over the last 20 years that have suffered Achilles injury, percentages drop about 5%. Those are the players.
Right,
that,
so let's be clear. So shooting percentage goes from 45, let's say,
to 40.
Okay.
And those are the players that come back, RJ. I mean, there was a study done by a team of Drexel doctors. 7 of the 18 players that suffered an Achilles injury, this would be in the 90s and the 2000s, 7 of the 18 didn't even come back to basketball in the NBA. Yeah. And of the players that came back, obviously field goal percentages went down. Average minutes per game went down specifically.
So really what we can say is history says, and that's the beauty of life, we're not statistics, we can be the exception when you're a... I don't know. Has there been 30 people the last 100 years with Kevin Durant's physical abilities in any sport? You know, he's one of the real freaks of nature of the last 100 years, you could say. Is he going to be dictated to by these averages? Now, you can also say, though, someone like Kobe, who you would say even had more work ethic. I mean, Kobe was considered the hardest worker in the game. He was older.
Yep.
But Kobe was never the same. In fact, Bill Simmons was talking about today, he's never seen a player that came back the same from an Achilles injury. Now, let's think about this. Next season would be year 31 for Kevin Durant. He's 31 years old next season. And by the way, we're breaking down Kevin Durant's injury, his prospects of recovery. Season after that, 32. Now, that's usually the season you see the most drop off, that plus one season. Next season, he's 33. Still some drop off historically. Season after that, he's 34. Now, in theory, he's recovered from this injury 100%, but now you're 34.
Yep.
And in the NBA, even LeBron, you felt. Now, again, LeBron
at 34
had
this year.
Yeah, a lot of miles on him. Yep. You could say Durant doesn't have as many. But sadly, it's very possible, if not likely, that we've seen the last of this Kevin Durant. The Durant who is at the tip of everyone's tongue as the best player in the NBA, I would make a major bet right now that that will never be the case again. I wish everyone luck, you know. I don't want anyone to have a horrible end to them. And obviously you can make the case, how horrible is this? And in a way, I really appreciate the humanity, the way people respond to this stuff. Because you could see in certain bars in Ohio, Brad, you might be able to relate to this, that there's some guy that just came from the coal mine that's been walking with a limp because, you know, a rock crushed his leg a while back. And that sounds funny if you didn't grow up in an area where that happened all the time to nearly everyone. Anyone that put 30 years in the mill where I grew up in Ohio or the mines usually had an injury or two coming out. Forget the black lung or whatever might be down the road. And forget, unfortunately, those people of that age or so, to be about like dad's age or whatever, were often Vietnam vets who you're just seeing more and more with the cancers and stuff from that. So it was a tough run for a lot of those guys. They're going to look up and they're going to say, wait a minute, the problem is he's going to miss a year and collect his $40 mil, you know, and he's got generational wealth. And I see that side, but boy, it seems like you don't get much of that. That it's humanity kind of understands that we're all mortal no matter what, that we're all fragile no matter what, and that greatness is rare. And sometimes greatness raises everybody up. And even if you have no connection to it, you know, the Belmont Stakes ran Saturday. And every year on my Twitter, the one thing I tweet out every year, one thing, is Secretariat's Belmont, which is one of the most I actually tweeted it out on Saturday. If you haven't seen it, at RJ in Vegas, it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. It's a horse. It's an animal. It's not a human. And it makes you feel like, hey, maybe this world has more grandeur and more magic. And a guy like Durant, watching him play, there's some grandeur and magic to it that we all mourn in a way, I think, if it's threatened. And to me, it's a great sign that there's not as much of the that's a bad break. Because really, you could see the case being made and so, that someone that's really struggling, they would trade with Durant in a minute.
So, RJ, one of the other aspects to this is, who do you blame? And there are some people out there that are looking at the Kevin Durant situation, and they're blaming the Golden State Warriors and their handling of his injury.
Yeah, to me, that's illogical. And here's why. It seems like Jonas, the exhibit number one in blaming Golden State, is that they nudged him prematurely to play.
Right.
And I think The Athletic had an article to that effect. To me, that proves it wasn't the team. Meaning, supposedly it's been multiple games that the team has been grumbling, going, saying, hey, it's time, you should be back by now. And if he didn't play in game four, that meant he heard the grumbling and said, huh, interesting. Nope. Heard it in game three, but you know, if this story is correct. So it's either Golden State has had no culpability, no kind of nudging, or if so, the nudging started well before the run up to game five, and he rejected it. He said no to it. So I think kind of it's the team's job. Listen, no team, just for the risk of being sued in this day and age with multiple billion-dollar franchises, no team is anxious to push someone prematurely and, like, say, doctor, you know, like North Dallas 40, doctor, yeah, let him play. He's all right, shoot him up. You know, I'm not saying none of that's going on. I don't think it's going on at this level in the NBA.
Agree.
So now it's about, okay, you're in the gray area where the doctor says he could play, but it's up to the player if he feels confident. It's kind of Golden State's job at that point to say, you ready to go? And it's kind of Durant's job to make the decision that's best for him. And he is an adult. I actually think, and when we come back, I think if you examine why Durant made this decision, and we can speculate, and then look at what could be the result, I think Durant is being very unfairly treated. Even the people that think they're being nice to him, I think the case could be made that Durant could be legendary for this decision, and I'll explain why.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will get into the big decision that now awaits Kevin Durant.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now, on the Strip, 102 degrees, the neon is crackling.
So, RJ, we know Kevin Durant went down with what is believed to be an Achilles tear for the Golden State Warriors last night. Although we don't believe that the Warriors are at fault for Kevin Durant playing, it does now come to the part of the conversation where we discuss his future. And what do you think drove, what does Vegas think drove Kevin Durant to make the decision he made to play last night?
You know, it's funny is I love, you know, the voice of Vegas. That's something, you know, as people have said that, I'm proud of. It's kind of funny, though. What's Vegas think of? You know, Vegas does think in a way differently, even if it's like, what does Vegas think about buffets? And it's like, well, make sure you skip the meal before. Try to go to lunch right at the end of lunch yeah. So you can get dinner for lunch prices. There's all kind of ways to think like a better, really, because it's about weighing risk, reward, et cetera. I don't know what makes society, the American people specifically, love some players, some people, and not love others. I got a feeling it's relatability. If you feel like this is someone who's in a way different than me, but also like me, Terry Bradshaw example. Guy's not a great loquacious communicator, you would say.
Yeah, fair enough.
but he feels like your buddy that could be hanging out with you, drinking beers, and maybe even shotgunning a beer. They're a little tight on time. But he won 4 Super Bowls. And he won them as a tough mofo, as a Steeler fan. Durant 7 foot. A lot of people say one of the reasons Steph is so relatable is because you could imagine in a dream world you playing like Steph. Now, personally, Boris Diaw was always my guy because that was my game, just at a different level. But, you know, you can look at Steph and dream you could play like him. But it's hard to dream that you're 7 foot because you'd just be a different person. So part of it's that. But there's been, hey, Shaq is nothing like us. But people love Shaq. Not everybody, but I think Durant, for whatever reason, and we could do a 10-hour podcast probably on trying to figure out why some people are loved and some aren't. I think Durant's gotten a lot of criticism. I think some of it's warranted. You know, Colin today was really pro-Durant on the Herd, but it was almost like he had to, yes, he's aloof. Yes, he's standoffish, but he's a good guy. It's like, I don't know him. Like, I don't, that's fine if someone's a good guy and it's better than not. But how many of the people that we loved were terrible guys? We didn't know it, though. In a way, what the person really is doesn't matter. It's what their avatar is that we engage with. We're not, now, if we get a chance to engage with the real person, then what the real person is would matter. But I'm never going to probably engage with KD. So now the question is, what is the avatar? What is the representation that he puts out there? Do you, any of us think we know Michael Jordan? Maybe, yeah. If you interviewed him. Or 99.9% of the listeners have never spent any time with Michael Jordan, but we have an impression. Doesn't matter if Jordan did X, Y, or Z. Now, we'll draw a line if someone's breaking the law, someone's beating his wife, but in general, we don't care what someone's really like. We try to figure out what they're really like, but we accept the fact we're never going to know for sure. So let's accept that Kevin Durant in general has gotten more criticism than maybe he deserves for whatever reason. Let's look at this decision. If Kevin Durant would have sat out the whole series, no matter what, none of us would have been in a position to really judge it. We could have said Golden State didn't tell us the true nature of the injury. Yeah. And I would be pounding my fist. We need to know as gamblers. Okay. But we weren't in a position to say, I mean, if Kawhi got away with what he did last year, meaning it was months and months of not playing when the team thought he should, some stories floating that he was down playing 2-on-2, I mean, hard when the other team was, when the real team was practicing, makes you think it wasn't fear of injury. But I don't really know. But I tell you this, he seems pretty loved right now.
Yep.
I don't hear many people saying, he's maybe the best player in the world, but he sat out last year. They're like, we don't know the story. Obviously, he didn't help his brand, but he was able to recover pretty quick. Obviously, Durant could have done the same, meaning stay out. So why'd he come back? One, it could be, I love my team so much, even if I'm risking my health, my long-term viability, I'm going to be here to max our chance to win this title. Let's assume it's that. Well, that's about the most teamworky, old school, that's the way it used to be, that a player could be today. It's the old famous Kevin McHale, when they told him, if you play on this foot for the Celtics, you're probably going to have trouble with that foot the rest of your life. And he kept playing. We tell stories, Celtics fans especially, tell stories about that in hushed tones. Isn't that what Durant did? Assuming it was a selfless or not even selfless, but assuming that a big chunk of his decision was responsibility to his team, that feels like even a bigger price. Well, maybe not a bigger price than Mikhail, because in theory, it hurt Mikhail's career and his after career, you know, quality of life. Even though an Achilles is about as bad as you get, the theory is when it comes to golfing or walking around when Durant's 45, it shouldn't affect him. So if anything, Mikhail had a little bit more ramifications, but Durant's right in the conversation. So let me ask you guys, Jonas, Brad, and there might not be an answer. Other than saying, you know, Durant has rabbit ears, which people, you know, a term saying he's hearing what they're saying on Twitter. He's got his burner phone responding, which seems ludicrous, but in a way, his brain was hurt more by that than anything anyone, some Twitter person that wasn't probably even verified could have said, meaning not a big following. I get it. Maybe it was he felt peer pressure a little from Golden State, maybe, the third time they asked. He's hearing it from the fans. And maybe it was he calculated, like we said yesterday, he was on a free roll. Now, we didn't contemplate injury. But other than injury, if they lose that game and he comes back, hey, you guys were losing anyway. I came back early and got, you know, everyone would have said kudos. He would have, his brain would have been helped some. If somehow he came back, won game 5, 6, and 7, it is the history like Jordan against Utah. Though not his last play of his career in this case, probably, it would have been like, that's why he's on Mount Rushmore.
Exactly.
So there was no downside. The only downside was injury. So I guess on one hand, he's either one of the great teammates we've ever seen, or he made a calculation, but still was willing to risk his health to try to build, you know, his esteem in the eyes of the fans. So either way, the guy had guts. Maybe they were more about his own self-interest. Maybe it was team. But either way, it's a gutsy decision to go out there a little early. And by definition, the fact that he got hurt so soon probably says it was a little early. Jonas.
I don't buy that it was that he was at such a risk of further injury, more so than any other player is.
Ooh.
At any time. And
how many
why.
Games has he played without getting hurt?
But here's why. If they were so concerned, why was he breakdancing in the tunnel before he went out? I mean, if they're so concerned, why wasn't a trainer there telling him, hey, man, whatever you're doing here, let's cut that out and make sure we get out there healthy. I think they all felt he was ready to go, and so did he.
I've seen some fat guys breakdance.
I do.
I think if breakdancing's the problem, I mean, I don't think that – it'd be one thing if he's doing plyometrics with, you know, 50 pounds on his back, but – do we really think breakdancing would be a, like, could you imagine if he had injured himself breakdancing before the game?
You can find the video online. He's popping back and forth.
No, I believe
it. It's just, I just don't think that.
But don't we agree that in medical science, there's a vague sense that one injury can lead to another in a way we don't fully understand, that compensating, you know, you got a hurt hip, so you walk a little funny, and now your ankle's hurting. So I agree. It wasn't the same injury, unless you believe conspiracy, he had an Achilles issue to start with. But assuming it's the calf, the fact that he hurt his Achilles wouldn't be about the calf. It'd be about the ancillary consequences of the calf being less than 100%, right?
Yeah, but I don't buy that they would send him out there and that he would willingly go out there knowing for sure, hey, this is how it's going to go down. It's a bad break.
But what happens, let's say in a normal situation, Kevin Durant blowing out his Achilles is a 1 in 200 shot, let's say. And that's even high, 1 in 300. It's not, in a game, that sounds about right, right, Brad?
Yep.
Okay. Maybe it was 1 in 80 this time, meaning the odds were way against it. But to say that it's just, and again, there are coincidences. But if what we're going to hang our hat on is the idea that Kevin Durant's never blown his Achilles before, came back from a leg injury maybe a little early, and he blows his Achilles within, what, 12 minutes?
12 minutes.
It's hard. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible, it's a coincidence. I'm saying as a betting man, I'm betting there's a correlation.
Yeah, I don't think that, and people want to place blame, and I get it. Everybody's got to have their hot take, and let's blame the Warriors. I just don't
Are you
think
saying that I have too many hot takes?
No, not you, but the people out there know who they are. I just don't
You know,
think,
if you want to say, don't subtweet Colin on the air, please.
No, actually, I agree with him.
Oh, yeah, I agreed with him. All right.
But I just don't think that we have to necessarily place blame on anybody here. It was a bad set of circumstances, and it sucks for Kevin Durant.
No, I agree. I, again, think we can't know for sure, but it feels like too much coincidence. For me, it's a matter of judgment. There's no, you know, black and white answer. Agreed on that. The last thing, but just let's recap quickly. Either way, Durant, it's hard not to say that guy, no pun intended, is a warrior, and that hasn't been his brand. His brand's really not, you know, he's so tough. So it might be that Durant played so much amazing basketball to the point that best player on earth, some thought, and he didn't get the respect he thought he deserved. Now, as we projected, likely will never be the best basketball player in the world ever again. He'll be good, but a drop-off. The thing that causes that, this injury, may be the thing that finally gets him the respect that he deserves, or that he feels he deserves. I don't know if that's sinking in yet because I'm hearing more sympathy, but when you really get down to it, he risked a lot in order to help his team win. Maybe there was a lot of self-interest, maybe not. When we come back in just a minute, we'll talk about what's next for Durant, and we'll break down the rest of game number 5.
Dan straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will continue to take a further look at the NBA Finals with Game 6 coming up on Thursday night. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Did you hear the pronunciation of Chile? I mean, that is professional stuff.
Best
I mean,
in the
personally,
business.
I don't ever associate with anyone that doesn't just say Chile. But, you know, I'm a simple man.
I just said that in this room.
Oh, you did?
I did.
And it was, but the tongue was rolling. I mean, you couldn't Chile. Have done it better. Couldn't have done it better. Yeah. You know, actually, Jonas uncovered these free agent odds. So now the question is, what happens to Durant? Boy, you know, a lot of people are starting to get hip to the fact that, you know, Jonas and Colin Cowherd don't like each other. Well, it's a one-way kind of feud.
Yeah.
Now, personally, I you know, Colin's my man.
This is where I go. I go to Vegas via the Cowherd Global Satellite Network, RJ Bell, pregame.com.
And again, I can't dictate what Jonas says, but I disagree with Colin today. One, he's like, in fact, I almost was on the polar opposite of everything he said about Durant. Like, literally, I think if you would George Costanza flip it, you'd be more right. So one, he's saying, finally, Durant's a Golden State Warrior because he finally needs the Warriors. Well, in my experience, when someone tries to put their arms around you, embrace you, make you part of something, and you're too big time, you're too aloof, you're too other to wrap your arms back. Well, when that person that was too aloof falls, usually the other person's saying, huh, I bet you wish that you had wrapped your arms around us because we'd be a family right now. I don't really know all the machinations, all the back and forths that led KD to seem like the other. But boy, I think it's undebatable. The very fact he's leaving, in fact, we got some sound on this, is if you listen to Clay after the game, there's obviously empathy, there's concern, there's appreciation. But I also hear a sense of talking in the past tense when it comes to Durant. Let's listen.
I got nothing, and as every NBA fan should have nothing but respect for Kevin Durant. For him to come out here, put his health on the line to try and help us win a championship shows you what kind of competitor he is. And it was very deflating after the game just because we're going to miss him. And it's not the same not being out there competing with him. I think anyone would be happy to have him on their team, but running out on the floor tonight, we had a new sense of confidence getting our guy back. So it hurt to see him go down because we know how much he cares and how much he wants to be out here.
We're going to miss him. Any team would be happy to have him? Jonas, that doesn't sound like he's part of the Warrior family. I mean, again, not saying they don't care.
Right.
But it seems like it's the guy that was halfway out the door anyway, and now he broke his leg, so he has to stay a few more days in the apartment. You're going to be okay with it, but you're not all that anxious to convince him to stay forever.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody who knows the breakup is coming.
So, you know, Colin was also like, you know, now Durant needs the Warriors. They know how great he is, so they will offer a max. I mean, my sense is, and we've debated this, the Knicks, Warriors still probably, Lakers. I think each team's a little different because, like, LeBron's got a ticking clock and all that. But if you're a team like the Knicks and you know you can have Durant, you might not have to worry about the playoffs with Durant like we were projecting if he's out. But does anyone here not think Durant will have multiple? My belief is the following. Durant will have multiple max offers. Does anyone disagree with that?
No.
No.
Okay. So in a way, why does Golden State need Durant anymore, or why does Durant need Golden State anymore than he did before the injury?
Yeah, I don't see Colin's logic there.
I don't either. I think Colin is of the belief that there is no max offer out there if Golden State doesn't somehow take, you know, and then Colin's saying, well, Durant took multiple lesser deals. It's like, well, he's only been there 3 years. So I'm not sure how many multiple lesser, and if lesser means you're taking, and I don't have the exact number. Daryl, maybe you can look on the commercial. What was Durant's max versus what he took? My understanding, it was like, you know, $29 million versus $31.5 million. Now, listen, that's real money. But in the scheme of things, you know, 97 cents on the dollar, you know.
Yeah, it's not Tom Brady taking basically half.
Yeah, so I give him, I respect it. It's just he was getting most of his money. Jonas.
And I also, it's not going to be a prove-it year for Durant. You'll see some guys take these one-year contracts as a prove-it year so they can test free agency again because he's going to be out majority of the year anyway. So if he wants
the whole year if there's no playoffs.
So if he wants to be in Golden State, he'll be in Golden State. But if there's a max offer out there and he wants to leave, he's going to take it.
And who's to say Golden State even wants him? Meaning once you've had, and I don't know about that, but once you feel like someone's rejecting you, even if you normally unemotionally would just say yes, you know, it's a close call, you might say no. Now, if it's an easy yes, then you still, you know, you swallow your pride and say yes. But I this is what I'll say for sure. We've said this a few times. The max best players, or the best players that take the max, are underpaid. That if it was a true free market where you still had the salary cap, but you could spend it any way you wanted, a guy like Durant in his prime, uninjured, might be worth $50 million, $60 million. And the max is significantly less. That's the problem the Lakers and every team with LeBron has had. He knows he's making less, maybe half of what he should be. So he has his buddies get jobs with the team. They're flying on the plane. He's like a quasi-GM. And all the teams just got to grin and bear it because they know it's not about the money. Everyone would pay LeBron, or would have at least, the max. So now what's the other amenities, right? And Durant, though at this point maybe isn't the type that could get the max plus amenities, he's still, even with the missed year, worthy of a max. And I would make any bet that he gets that offer, unless somehow this becomes an injury that he's out for 3 years, which I don't even think there's injuries like. Yeah, you know, I guess if you have a drop foot or whatever, but unless it's like some extremely bad result, I think Kevin Durant gets the max offer from multiple teams.
Agree.
When we come back, we'll give you the exact odds on which team Durant will play for next year, and break down the rest of Game 5.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. So, RJ, now that we are discussing Kevin Durant and what happened last night with the injury, what does the future say about where he may end up next year?
Yeah, we got the odds and we got the adjustment from before and after the injury. The order of the favorites are the same. One team has improved significantly, Golden State. Golden State was 2-1, plus 200. Now they're plus 150. So improvement odds for Durant to stay with Golden State by a smidge. Every other team's been downgraded. Knicks are second favorite, downgraded. Clippers third, downgraded. Lakers, Brooklyn, downgraded. And OKC, downgraded. So really effectively, though not a huge change, Durant odds of staying at Golden State have increased somewhat, decreased everywhere else, but not by major margin. So pretty much the same playing field. Speaking of bets and such, you know, I'm one to read people. Jonas is like so confident about his testosterone that we were going to have a bet where he shaves his beard. And he seemed too into it. Like, oh, you could watch how quick this thing grows back. So I'm just going to back away.
It's probably a smart move. All right. So, guys, as we look at what happened last night, we've been talking a lot about Kevin Durant. And we've been talking a lot about the injury. But we have failed to point out how close Toronto was to their first NBA championship. A little over 3 minutes left to go. They've got a six-point lead. The Golden State Warriors battle back, and it was Klay Thompson, courtesy of the Warriors Radio Network, who was the difference.
Curry behind the back, dribbles baseline, feeds Iguodala, touch pass Draymond to Klay Thompson, pump fake, fly by, three ball, got it! 56.6 to go, Warriors back up by three, Toronto calls time. This game is absolutely insane.
The Raptors did have one final opportunity to try and win the game late. The Warriors up by a point, and here's how it sounded, courtesy of the Warriors Radio Network.
Van Vliet will take it up the floor. Van Vliet down to 12 seconds, 10 seconds. Waiting for Leonard. Leonard catches it on the logo, steps out. Guarded by Klay Thompson, 6 seconds with 5 seconds. Leonard right side stops, feeds Van Vliet. Van Vliet, one dribble, get the corner. Lowry, it's blocked by Draymond. The game's over! The game's over! The game is over. The Warriors have won. 106-105. Keep the lights on at Oracle. Dust those seats off. That old Barnes got one more dance.
What an exciting ending. People can debate Kawhi not taking that last shot. Brad, tomorrow you're going to have a rant. You're going Stephen A. on us. that's going to be scary. Here's what I'll say, a couple things. If you're a Golden State fan, that was the toughest game to win. Because if you have two, obviously the home game's not going to be the toughest of the three. If you have two road game or home games, Toronto, game seven's going to be tougher. Why? Because Golden State is more used to the brightest of the bright lights, the pressure. And also, there's going to be the whispers, is Toronto really going to choke this thing away? 33-1 or something, teams up 3-1? So I think Kawhi can handle it. Everyone else, I think game seven's tougher than game five. Though, obviously, Durant did contribute some, and that's kind of the point. You could say Golden State wins by one. Durant hits scores some real points in a short period of time. Would Golden State have won that game if Durant didn't play those 12 minutes?
I don't think he does. They do.
So imagine... Imagine if Golden State comes back and wins this title. Now the whole story about the courage, the grit of Durant, it becomes something they tell their kids in the Bay Area next to the fireplace about, D-Day. And then when Durant came back, he was so hurt. Willis Reed style, he knew he couldn't finish the game. He just hoped he could get a few buckets for the loved Warriors, and then maybe that could increase the chance of the Warriors winning by just 1%. Imagine if they win. In theory, Durant will be legendary for that 12 minutes he put in. Would be interesting.
The Odd Couple is next. We are straight out of Vegas. We'll be back again tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, with a further look into Game 6 of the NBA Finals right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.